Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to change things up a little bit today. I want to talk about the incarcerated. People stereotype a lot. They look down upon prisoners because they feel they're nothing but scum. Prisoners feel the same way because this is what they're always called, animals, by their overseers, by people in society. And unfortunately, they're not. They're human beings just like us. Just like us. So what I want to talk about today is insecurity. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people in society who are very insecure, and they feel a need to bring themselves up while making others feel low. When we work with our clients in my organization, I encourage my volunteers all the time to try to relate to their clients and have their clients relate to them by treating them equal. We don't have titles. We may have titles, but we don't need to use titles when we are advocating for others less fortunate. We want them to feel as though, just as they are, equal to all of us. Put yourself in their place, especially those who are wrongfully convicted, especially those who were victims before becoming offenders, those who have made one mistake in their lifetime. They're seeking help from people, anyone that feels that they are human. They're seeking help from anyone out in society that looks at them as they are, human beings. If we were to think about it, our Creator could ask to be acknowledged by a title. Everything He did for us, He never was called anything but the Most High, or our Creator. This country, that's the problem with this country. This country wants to be the bully of all countries, wants to feel that important. So they always have to be bragging, boasting, or doing whatever they can to be looked at as number one. Well, in reality, this country is about nothing. It's got mass incarceration. All the money that the taxpayers are paying out there are being paid out for what? Other countries seem to be surviving and doing just well. Their prisons are not full. They don't have mass incarceration. They don't have severe abuses going on within the penal system or deprivations. They're average. And I'm going back to all the countries that I traveled throughout. The people, they weren't stressed out. Everything was laid back. Everything was slow. In this country, everything is rushed. Everybody has to be rushing all over the place. They have to feel important. The insecurities that people in this country experience is their own problem, because we don't have to have that insecurity. We can be normal, humble, as they call it. But everyone has their pride. You know, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about it. Especially in the final days, people are going to become boastful and proud, disloyal, betrayal. These are things that are happening. I want to bring this out because there are advocates out there in the communities around the country supposedly advocating for the incarcerated. And many of them go by Mr. or Miss, Doctor, Chancellor, President, Executive Director. What's it all about? I always say people social workers, they go into these homes when they come out of college. A lot of them aren't married. They don't have children. You know, they go into these homes. They don't know anything about cultures. And they go into these homes, and they want to tell these people how to live. They want to tell these people what they need to do. For what? Because those people look at them as though they're crazy. Who are you to tell me what to do when you don't have children, when you're not married? But social workers, a lot of them with their gung-ho feelings, their attitudes, wanting to be above those they're working with rather than trying to relate to them. That's why there's no success in a lot of these families where the children are being put in foster homes, many of which they die in foster homes, or they're violated in foster homes or abused in some other way. Substance abuse counselors, if they haven't experienced it, they're spending money, or people, taxpayers are spending dollars to have these addicted individuals healed when those people are not going anywhere, as long as they don't have people working with them that have been there, done it, and are overachievers. Same with advocates. First of all, if you want to be above, do it when you're contacting the Department of Corrections. Then use your titles. Use your titles with other people that are unsuccessful and seeking acknowledgement for their titles. But what happens a lot of times, we have people advocating for the incarcerated, people advocating for families and individuals and adolescents in their homes, expecting to be called doctor or mister or miss or missus or chancellor, when those people aren't the ones you want to be professional with. You want to be professional with the people that you're advocating for them with. So I want to encourage advocates, many of you who are working with the incarcerated, save your titles for when you have to call the DOC and you have to advocate for one of the incarcerated individuals. Then you want to let them know your title so that they know you're professional and they're dealing with professionals. But there's a lot of people with titles who are afraid to confront or to ask or to speak with people in law enforcement and people in the Department of Corrections, the penal system. They're actually afraid. I've had to ask people to call me by my first name sometimes, a lot of times, because I don't like to be called with the title. I don't. It separates me from reality with the people who are suffering and going through all these things in reality. This is not a fantasy world, but this is an unreality country. And that's the problem with America. That's the problem with the people in this country. Everybody wants to be acknowledged. That's the problem with the Democrats and the Republicans going back and forth. They're trying to bring the other down. And they're using the American people for their reason, their scapegoat. They're going back and forth like children. These are people that are supposed to be professional with titles. And they're going back and forth like children fighting. And what is the American people doing? The American people, all those out in the communities, American people with titles, what are they doing? Are they challenging? No. We have legislative members that call the prisons sometimes, a lot of times, around the country on behalf of their constituents who are incarcerated or their constituents, relatives, or friends. And then they make that phone call using their title and everything, but they're lied to. And what do they do from there? The insecurities cause them to back away, and that's the end of it. There's a woman who has been trying to get help for her son. He just called her yesterday from Indiana. He was in Pendleton State Prison, and she was very concerned. She was very concerned. She hadn't heard from him in over a week. She said their Wi-Fi was shut down so that the prisoners couldn't call out. So what happened? We called the prison. And someone said they were going to check on him and get back to us. So we're waiting to be on hold for her to get back to us. And what happened? She disconnected us. We called back and they said they were going to transfer us to someone else. And we got a voicemail. But while that voicemail was going off, I informed the woman that she needed to call the Department of Justice. Because they now have a number you can call just for the abuses of the incarcerated individuals. They actually do. This is, I guess, under the new administration at the Department of Justice. So people, if they have a complaint, they can call directly to the DOJ. And for all of you that don't know, the number is 202-616-6070. If anything's going on behind those walls with your loved ones, make that call. And you can just let them know what's going on. And there's others out there. There are other organizations out there. The thing is, you have to find the ones that are actually doing something, not the ones that just have on their website all these things that they do, but those who have on their website the things that they do, and they can be transparent about it because other people are going to talk about what they've done. I can spend the whole day today talking about the organizations who have all these things that they do on their websites. And if you call somebody and have them call them to get help, they're not going to do it. And a lot of them are saying they don't have the staff or they don't have the funding. If you don't have the staff and you don't have the funding, then take that thing off your website. Who wants to be wasting their time going to these websites to get nowhere fast? These people have to be challenged. ACLU right now has it on their website. They have it on their website. If you have a civil rights violation or being violated, your civil rights, whatever, human rights, call them. I guarantee you're going to get nowhere fast. And there's a lot of others. I'm not going to start naming them now. But if you ever called in and asked, I can give you the numbers of a lot of them. And those, NAACP, National Action Network. Al Sharpton's got his little show now on CNN. He don't have time, but he still has his website up there, and he still has people he's supposed to be running the organization that's supposed to be helping others. I called one in Boston, the chapter. National Action Chapter. His name was Smith. I forgot his first name. The first thing he said was, do you donate? Have you donated to the organization? What do you do for prisoners? I didn't waste my time telling him because I'm not going to waste my time telling him. I don't need to put my title out there and I don't need to put what I do out there. But they don't help. They don't even help as they claim all the time about Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. Let's see Black Lives Matter help their black lives, help their brothers and sisters of color. NAACP, they found a new way to make money. Most of their work is being, or they're, at least this is what they are advertising, they're working with education. You know, I have a problem with whites and I have a problem with blacks. When it comes to the incarcerated. And we have people in society that give up people of color very harsh sentences, especially if the crime involves black and white. If something happens within your own race, when it comes to people of color, it's fine. You're not going to get life without parole or life. You're not going to get the death penalty. But if it happens with somebody that's opposite of people of color, guaranteed, you're going to get a life without parole or the death sentence in some states. And then when people are crying out to these leaders of color and they don't do anything, as soon as something happens to those individuals of color, they're all ready to jump in to sue, to file lawsuits for the families of the deceased. What is it all about? 2.3 million people incarcerated. Where's the help? The only way they get help is if they have friends that know someone, or that they know someone, or that they can help these organizations, these legal organizations, that they can bring more people to them that can contribute. That's the only way that prisoners get help, is if they know somebody, or they have relatives that know somebody, or friends that know someone. And these people that have these organizations, these legal law firms, they help their own. When I say their own, there's a lot of people that start these organizations because they have a loved one inside. And because they have a loved one inside, a lot of the funding is used for their own motives, their own benefits. And if it's not their own loved ones that they're using the money to represent, I'm sure it's friends who are being represented, or friends of friends. This is how it works in the system in the United States. This is how it works. I've been advocating for over 20-something years now, and I know of so many people who have lost their lives begging for help and being denied. Many who have committed suicide, and many who have died alleging that they were being abused by staff, and possibly other prisoners too. And I keep going back to Pennsylvania because that stays in my mind all the time in 2007 and 8. 2007, when three prisoners were begging for help, being detained in solitary, being detained and begging for help. And there was a state rep at the time. She's not in office anymore. She's retired. But she gave me the names of all these people in legislative positions and law positions. She gave me the names of these people in Pennsylvania to contact. And I called them. None of them could take the time out to help, to check into it or anything. I called ACLU a number of times, after each one was allegedly to have committed suicide. I contacted ACLU, pleading for help for these individuals. And the same excuse they gave in 2007 and 8, they give to this day. They don't have the funds or the staff. If they don't have it, take it off your website. Take it off the website so people are not going to waste their time. And all of these lawyers who are very insecure, so insecure that they have to have titles, or they have to listen to their peers in the legal arena when their peers are telling them not to take cases, don't take the case for whatever reason. And these ignorant, these are lawyers. They're supposed to take cases. I mean, what is the reason for becoming lawyers? But their peers are telling them not to take cases, and what do? They don't take the cases. That's how insecure people are in this country. They can't think for themselves. They're not leaders, they're followers. How can you advocate for the incarcerated when a lot of times you're not even willing to represent them? And there have been lawyers that have represented clients simply to get all the money they could get. And that representation fails. It falls out the door as soon as they get the money. They meet with the client one time and here they're charging $5,000. They send emails back and forth to people and then they charge $16,000. For what? And the Bar Association, the American Bar Association, the Massachusetts or State Bar Association, in any of these places, they stand by these lawyers. So the lawyers, I guess they pay these associations. I guess they pay the bar associations for their membership, and that's probably why they get away with so much. But it shows the insecurities within the legal system. It shows the insecurities. These correctional officers and prison officials that see so much injustice going on inside that are not corrupt, but yet they are too cowardly, too insecure to report their corrupt peers. We have right now a lot going on in this country over the former and current presidents. And those who are not insecure and not appropriate are the ones that are getting their way because they're not insecure. They're speaking out, whether it be lies or whether it be truth. They're speaking out and they're getting more supporters, which is dangerous for the United States of America. Whatever happened to executive powers? I know some presidents would use their executive powers to do a lot of things, and we've seen it and heard about it. Then we have one that right now is doing absolutely nothing. He doesn't want to use his executive powers. I guess he's saving it until the day he's ready to leave office. Only in America. We have people going to other countries to see what they do and why they're so successful in what they do. They go over there to see these things, and yet they come back and do absolutely nothing. They've gone to the penal system. They've gone to the people in other countries to see how their prisons work. And they see that the recidivism rate is so low, while we have ongoing high recidivism rates. We see, we don't even have to go over there, but we see from talking with people in other countries that they treat their prisoners humane. They don't have these steel bars and walls and cement floors, and they treat their prisoners human. They call them by name and not numbers. There's no insecurities in those countries, believe me. And you hear it every week when we interview people from other countries. You hear how they operate. And you hear what their thoughts are about the United States prisons. How can you advocate for the incarcerated when you are so insecure? And then we have to talk about the families and friends of those incarcerated. Not the ones that advocate. Not the ones that are advocating, not the ones that are speaking out, but those of you who are sitting back complaining and doing absolutely nothing. You can look at that as being insecure, or you can look at that as being a contributor to the problems that led up to your loved one's incarceration in the beginning. Because that's exactly what it is. These people in the prisons, many wrongfully convicted, but many first-time offenders, many who were mentally ill and many who were addicted. And we all know there's an epidemic in this country of mental illnesses and addictions, and we all know that the American Psychological Association is getting all this money, and they're doing absolutely nothing to do anything except talking about research. We have people that have gotten so much funding to do so much research. What's it all about? Research is something we, right now, we know the statistics. We know the problems. They closed down all the mental institutions throughout the country and started throwing everybody in prisons. We've got the Department of Mental Health. We've got American Psychological and Psychiatric Association doing absolutely nothing to come out and say, wait, these people are in prison. These people need help. You know, let's stop building facilities to replace these prisons. A lot of people say, oh, well, there's people inside that will never be reformed. They need to stay inside. Okay, so they need to stay inside. So build these long-term residential facilities, put them in these facilities, and keep them in forever. But let them be treated humanely. Let them be treated with the psychological treatment that they need or with the medical treatment. These medical providers in the DOC are contracted. A lot of times when they're negotiating for fees, their cost, people are going to take the less appropriate, the less sufficient to save money. So they're going to hire people that are less qualified or not qualified at all to do things to help these prisoners when they need medical or psychological treatment. And so many of these prisoners are being permanently damaged. Their mental health is fading, getting worse, because this is what the Department of Corrections instructs these providers to do. Because the providers can make a recommendation for one thing, and their overseers, the prison officials, is going to tell them what they can and cannot do. So when these providers suggest or recommend treatment, or they recommend a specific item or thing that the individuals need, who's going to deny it? The prison officials. Again, insecurity. Insecurity. We live in a country that's very insecure. In all other countries in the world, that this country thinks they're going to tell how to run their countries, all these countries in the world are doing a much better job than the United States of America. 813, state your name, please.
Hello?
Yes. What's your name, please?
This is Stacy. How are you?
Good. This is who?
Stacy from Florida.
Stacy. How are you, Stacy?
I'm Stacy, very good. How are you?
Stacy Wood, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, we're talking today. I changed up a little bit talking today about the insecurities and the advocation that it can be a problem rather than an asset, a value, when working with the incarcerated individuals and DOC overseers. One of the things that I wanted to bring out today was how people feel that they need to feel important. And we have so many people out there trying to put titles before their names when they're doing advocacy work instead of just doing the work and trying to,
right.
You know, I've had people, advocates, they're talking, you know, you're communicating, you're interacting on a first name basis, and all of a sudden out of the clear blue sky, you're going to have somebody, dear miss, or I'm doctor, or I'm this or that. You know, it doesn't, this is insecurity, and we have so much of it in the United States. I don't know your feelings towards it, but I'd like to hear it.
I think America is impressed by titles. I truly do, you know. I mean, it seems like nothing gets done unless you have a title in front of your name. And that's, I think, is totally wrong. I think some of the biggest advocates for people in prison are the ones who have loved ones in prison and know that the system is broken. And I just think that a lot of people need to be more, I would say, upfront and, you know, very truthful in what they're actually doing it for.
Exactly.
It's not something for the weak, for sure, and it's definitely not something for just because you want to stick your nose into it. It's something that really needs to be addressed in this country.
Exactly. You know, we have clients that right now they want someone they can relate to. And the ones that you relate to are the ones that have been there and done it. You know, I've worked with families and children, and I've worked with adolescents. I've worked with domestic violence cases. I've worked with prisoners now, and men, women, and youth. But the thing is, I don't try to be better than them, because I know that for me, my titles are used for the people that I am interacting with, whom I am trying to get to change their ways, and that's the Department of Corrections superiors, the supervisors, the prison officials, the commissioners, not the clients, because clients are already dealing with people with titles. They're already dealing with those people in high places behind those prison walls and those people that are abusing and depriving and violating. So they're not, they don't want somebody to be advocating for them that's going to be expecting them to address them as sir or mister. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, what is it all about?
I think it's sad. I truthfully think it's sad.
So many incarcerated individuals before going into prison were respected. There were many, and I'm not saying all of them, but there have been thousands of prisoners that are behind those walls that were one time highly respected, that were in good positions, that were college educated. This is what's so sad, because they lost all that when they went behind those prison walls. They lost all of that. You know, people don't look at them as educated now. They don't look at them as though they could have been sitting in the state house, or they could have been sitting at the Capitol. But somehow they got messed up. They messed up, or whatever the case may be. But people think because they're behind prison walls that they're you know, they don't deserve, or they don't need to be acknowledged as by first names, or acknowledged by people with titles as humans.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I can't stand hearing inmate. You know, they got a name. Why can't you? You know. They have an actual name. They're, you know, inmate is, you're trying to degrade them. You're trying to look down upon them. I think what the problem is in America is that we have too many people that want that high
acknowledgement.
They're insecure. Like the power. They want to feel the power with it. But yet, you know, you can't give everyone power. That is one thing you can look. Some people just don't need the power because they don't know how to act with it. And that you cannot degrade people. You're no better than anyone else. I'm quite sure somewhere down the line you got a second chance that these people probably didn't in their life.
Exactly. You know, the thing is, I want you to talk a little bit more on that, because I just got a call from a prisoner I've got to take. So talk more about your situation with Free Patrick.
Okay. So Pat is serving 2 life sentences plus 50 years for a riot that he was involved in, where no one was hurt, no one was killed. Some officers did get hurt, but nobody was. And Pat's case is more political. They made a example out of him. He holds the largest sentence for that crime in the state of Florida's prison system ever. So we are in the process of working and trying to, you know, get his story out there so we can let people know that in Florida, they have some serious, you know, over excessive sentencing. And they have some really crazy laws that go on in there. But, yeah, it is, it's, advocacy for me started with Patrick, but it's ended with me fighting for all of them. You know, these guys are, they're just wanting someone to believe in them, and that they can change, that they are redeemable. And a lot of people look down on people that have been in prison. I figure if they've done all their time, then they deserve every second chance. Just because they were, you know, made a mistake early on in their life, that doesn't mean that when they come out that they can't get a good job, or that we still continue to look down on them as a society. And that's what I want to advocate for. I want to advocate that all these people get a second chance. Some second chances that we all got somewhere down the line. And, you know, I just, a lot of people, I know in Florida we have, you know, life parole. There is no parole system. Florida has the more life sentences than 30 states combined. It is, has no parole system, and, you know, we just, we need a lot of help down in Florida. If you want to come down and advocate with us, get in contact with me. You know, I'm on Facebook under Florida Free Pat, and that's Florida is one word, Free Pat the second one. I am also, I have no problems giving you my name and number. My number is 813-370-2647. And we want to not only free Pat, but free a lot of life sentences in Florida that need to be overturned, that these people are serving time for minimal crimes that don't even carry more than 2 to 5 years.
Let me ask you, Donna, what did Patrick get for a sentence?
He got two life sentences. He got two life sentences plus 50 years.
Okay, and you mentioned that he initially did not even get a life sentence, right?
Oh no, when he went to prison the first time at 17, he got only 17 years. But because he was involved in this riot, they added two life sentences plus 50 years on.
Okay, I want to get back to the riot. You know why? Because this is one thing that really bothers me, and I'm talking about this right now with these lawyers denying help to these prisoners, these incarcerated individuals. The sad thing about it is a lot of these individuals have been crying out, pleading for lawyers to get involved, or pleading even with the prison officials to get rid of certain guards, certain COs, because the COs are the problem. And they're being told, no, you're going to have to deal with it. You know, we're not doing anything. You're going to have to deal with it. Well, when there's problems with correctional officers and the incarcerated individuals, if they're having problems with them and they're saying, please give us another guard, you know, get rid of this one, and they're told you're going to have to deal with it, most likely that's what's going to happen. Riots are going to break out, food strikes. We've known about the food strikes nationwide. So when these riots break out, this is what happens. Now, as a result of this riot that broke out, your loved one ended up going from how many years?
From 17 years to two and a half life
sentences. Now, your loved one was 17 years old when he went in. How old is he now?
He'll be 50 this next month on the 22nd. Yep.
So here you have a young kid that went into prison at the age of 17, and he ended up going from a short sentence to 2.5 life sentences because a riot broke out. And this is one of the problems we have. And you know what? I get so upset when I think about how anybody in society today can think about nothing when it comes to something like this. I had somebody on the show the other day who went into prison when he was 17 years of age, and he's in his late 30s now. But it was sad because he was just a child when he went in. And to get these kind of sentences, it doesn't make sense. To get these kind of sentences, people have to be pretty ignorant, pretty careless, pretty heartless to give anybody sentences the way they're giving these sentences out, like they're giving out candy.
At that time in Florida, there were a lot of riots going on. But now I will honestly tell you, there are so many guards in Florida Department of Corrections that are corrupt. They are corrupt. They don't have a problem beating on them. They don't have a problem doing none of that. None of it. And, I mean, we had recent cases of it, you know. Three guards are are being held now for murdering one. They beat the living fire out of an old man and he died during transport because they beat him before he even got on the van. So these things are unacceptable. The good old boy system needs to be out of prisons, out of policing period across America. And that is what you're seeing. You're seeing these police that are not, they're not being policed any longer the way we were 30, 40 years ago. You know, that people knew the police. They knew them in their cities and things. And I think it's just progressed totally to a whole nother level. I don't think our government does, work correctly. Not, they don't work for the people. They work for themselves and all these, you know, lobbyists. Time that we start opening our eyes to what is really problems in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but do you want all your tax money paying for these prisoners to just walk around and swallow during the day and not, you know, not do anything? Florida Department of Corrections makes more money off of the state of Florida makes more money off of Florida Department of Corrections than they do in tourism. Let that sink in.
Yeah, I remember when those female, all those female guards at Lowell Prison in Florida were all raped. A lot of them were raped by prison guards. I don't know what the outcome of that was. They probably got away with it because we have.
Oh, the Department of Justice came in on that one, and yes, they have gotten away with it. But one of the guards was, he got sentenced, you know, for some good years. So he's good to go. But utterly, it's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. Regardless of the fact, these people are people. They're people.
You know, I got a message this morning from someone in Massachusetts. They wanted me to contact a state representative that had gone into the prisons, in one of the prisons in Massachusetts. And after she left, this girl said that there was a Spanish and some people of color that were beaten badly. And she wanted me to, she said she emailed the representative, but she didn't get an answer, so she wanted me to get in contact with her. And as I told the girl, I don't know the situation. I don't know if, you know, I don't even know her. So I said, without any concrete evidence or anything, I said, I think it's better if you, you know, try to get in contact with the state rep. But this is what happens. And I felt really bad when she told me about it because I believe it did happen. But unless she wanted to give me more information, even as to who she was and how she knew. But these things happen. So when you talk about Florida, it's not only happening in Florida. And This is why the United States is not getting it right, because they go to these other countries. We need to realize the problem is not state. It's nationwide, state by state. And even though all these states operate differently, the problems are still the same. What we need to do on a national level is all of these advocates in every state need to come together and try to do something on a national level to make changes.
Then Global Tellink.
You have a call now.
Yeah, Pat's on the phone.
Do you want to put him on?
Yeah, Pat, you're on with her again this week.
Patrick.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
I want to say somebody else's loved one came on the other day, and when they called their loved one, and after they hung up, the mother hadn't heard from her son in over a week since he had come on, and she was quite concerned. So we had to make some calls to see what was going on, and he finally was able to call her. But we're talking about these insecurities for people that are advocating for the incarcerated. They are too afraid, really, to make calls, to do all these things, but they're not afraid to use their titles when it comes to dealing with the incarcerated individuals. It's like they're trying to impress people of another status rather than use their professionalism and their titles to where it should go. We have a lot of people that take vows when they get their degree, their law degrees, and yet they can do corrupt things on the outside. And we have a lot of lawyers in this country who are so corrupt. They're so corrupt, and they've got on their websites, they got that they do all these things, and yet they're doing nothing for many prisoners across the country. But I want you to talk about your situation and anything else you want to update us on as well.
Yeah, basically, we still try to get everybody together to we're trying to expand the movement that we're trying to start right here in Florida with Florida Free Pat and Society First. We're trying to build up the movement and get it. We need more people with power and clout. People who like celebrities,
a lot of attention.
People with some status to bring attention to what we're trying to do here in Florida. Because without that, we fighting a real machine down here. We beating our heads against a brick wall.
I want to say this real quick, Patrick, and you can talk to your peers, your fellow inmates, incarcerated individuals. One of the problems we have in this country is the incarcerated population are not coming together to start doing massive writing. Not one or two here and there writing to a state rep or writing to the president, but we need all of you nationwide. Everyone listening to this show right now, if you have a loved one or a friend inside, encourage them to start writing in unity nationwide to all of these state reps, these legislative members, these lawmakers, the president, the media. Do it in massive,
yeah.
Because that's the way we'll see some progress.
Yeah.
And
I know
in your situation it's hard, because I've had other prisoners say, well, you know, there's a lot of these young prisoners that don't want to do anything but get high in, you know, behind these walls. Well, don't try to get them involved if they don't want to. Try to get the others involved, others that are older like yourself and others that are trying to see some changes. Try to encourage them. And if those young people see all of you doing something like this, maybe they'll stop doing their foolishness and try to work with you, instead of just going off and doing their own thing.
Yeah, like you say, the young generation here, that's what they're involved in. They're involved in drugs and gangs. It's prevalent right here in Florida. That's my real, 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 extremely bad. It's either you're gonna be with the gang, with the violence, with the drugs, which is probably about 75 to 80% of the population now, and then the rest of them is us, but not even the rest. Probably about 10% of us who are trying to do something positive and help the rest of the population try to get out of here, or, you know, get their sentence overturned or lesser sentences. It's probably about 10%, and then you got the, probably about the 5% that's just in the gray. They just in here living, just passing day by day. But like I say, me, my fiance, Stacy, and you got a few other people in here who we are actually trying our hardest to get things done, to make a change in here. But it's, I understand what you're saying. You get a mass movement in here, or writing up media and so on. What?
I got a call the other day from an incarcerated individual in one of the Massachusetts prisons telling me that the Celtics and some other athletes were all coming to their prison this week. They're all coming to one of the prisons in Massachusetts this week. Now, I don't know how they got in contact. I don't know how they ended up doing this, but he was excited, and he said that they were going to one of the prisons in this state, and they were going to be meeting with the prisoners. So that might be another option you and others may want to do, is start writing to these politicians, writing to these athletes.
That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do here in Florida. You see how in other states that type of stuff is happening, where athletes come and see the visitor and talk about what the problem and what the issue is. We don't have that here in Florida. When they come to see us here in Florida, but if it's some type of outside influence or a personality or a celebrity, they come in here to encourage us and to try to uplift us and stuff like this here. They don't come in here advocating for us to overturn the system as far as these harsh, excessive sentences or these illegal sentences. It seems like when you bring that issue up, they shun away from that, they shun away from challenging the system. Now, they'll come in here, they'll allow them in here, they'll come in here, the few celebrities that we do have, the few people with some clout who do come in here, they'll come in here to encourage us, to say, keep your head up, or when you get out, try to do better. We got programs to help you and stuff, like when you do get out. But they don't have them coming in here saying, oh, this need to change, this need to be improved. We don't have that. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the people with clout and power to come in here and advocate on our behalf to help us overturn these sentences.
Yeah, it goes back to the insecurities that I was talking about earlier. These athletes, they don't realize the sports people need them. They don't need the sports people. They get chosen because of their gift, their skills. So, but they're afraid to do anything that's going to, especially those of color, going back to those of color. But you know what, like I say, with John Legend, with Brian Stevenson, with Van Jones, write to these people.
You know what, I'm not even trying to be funny, and excuse me, I didn't mean to cut you off, but.
No, that's okay.
I would love to find a way to get in touch with Van Jones. I would love to be able to get in touch with Kim Kardashian. You can't tell me that if I got in touch with Kim Kardashian that she wouldn't want to be involved, because there is so much. What am I trying to say, Pat? Just so much injustice in Florida, period. And when people come down to Miami and party, you know, you got your celebrities will go down to Miami and party, or they'll go to Orlando and, you know, party, or, you know, whatever. But are you realizing that the money you're spending, you could be using your clout to say, hey, come on, you know?
But I think the people out there are not afraid to challenge the Florida system. I think they think that in their minds that it's a waste of time, that they they feel like, oh, it's ingrained in Florida. We're not going to be able to get them to change. We're not going to be able to get them to change their system, their ways. And it is ingrained down here. It is. It's generational down here. The system is truly generational down here. And it's hard to get these people to change, but we definitely ain't going to get it changed if nobody's trying to get it changed or trying to help us. You're going to lose 100%. But if you try, we might do be able to get it changed.
Okay.
We got to give us a hand, give something back down here.
So Donna mentioned Kim Kardashian. Do you know you can contact her at Twitter? She's on Twitter. There's a lot of them on Twitter. That's how you contact her.
Oh yeah, I do all the time. I've been on Twitter. Meek Mill, Jay Z, Michael Rubin. All of them. I mean,
those celebrities are attacking the other states. They're going and protesting the other states and go to bat for everybody in the other states. That's what I'm saying. They're going to the other states. They feel like it's easier. They're more receptive to them.
And Florida is the giant of it all. Florida is the one that is the leader of the pack on life sentences. There are over 15,000 people in Florida Department of Corrections that have life with no parole. There is no parole system in the state of Florida.
23,000 people with life sentences. It's over 15,000 without the chance of parole.
Yeah,
I think
that's more than.
That's why That's why Denise Caffey from Society First, I believe, started it, isn't it? Because the massive life.
Well, yeah, I mean that's why she started it. But the point of it is we can start it and try to move it as fast. But if we don't have big powered names behind us, big powered. We need people that aren't afraid to say, "Hey, look, this is injustice."
Yep.
If you can go to any other state and say, "Look, this is wrong," come to Florida. Call me. I talk to these inmates every day, and some of the injustices that I hear every day would make you cry. And it's like I told you earlier, being an advocate is not for the weak. I'm not weak in any way, shape, or form. But I will honestly tell you, I have cried several times from speaking to some of these people.
You know what I just realized we only have about a minute and a half. But real quickly, I want to say, you know what we need to do, Patrick and Donna, is we need to let everybody know on Facebook, let all your fellow incarcerated individuals know, we'll just get it all over the country on it. We'll pick a certain day or a certain week where we will do mass mailings, mass calls to a specific group of celebrities or a specific group of athletes. We need to do it on a national basis, and we need to pick and, you know, put something together, put some kind of proposal together or whatever, Patrick, and then we can even try to submit it to some philanthropist that may sponsor it or whatever. But that's what we want to do. Let's start planning from now on to pick around.
But I appreciate your help. You're a help to us.
Okay.
You're a very big help to us. Just you alone can help us like that. See, that's what I'm saying. And I appreciate
you get it all together.
You ain't
and
even
then
in the state.
We'll have you back on the show again, and then we could do a state by state. You know, once we get it done with Florida, we and have everybody from every state. Donna, why don't you and Patrick put the plan together, and then we can start making it go viral. Just pick a day, pick a time, or whatever's convenient, and then we'll make it go viral. We get it out there, and everybody can go on that particular day or week. We will just do mass mailing, calling, whatever we have to do.
Okay. Yes, most definitely.
And we will need we will need the contact information to, like I said, with these people that we're going to be doing this mass mailing and calling with. So we can do some research into the contact, and I'll try to do some research myself.
Okay, yeah, most definitely. And, you know, please, like I said before, call me. Call Stacy at 813-370-2647. Please. I mean, you don't even have to have a loved one in Florida. But that doesn't, just because we're working on Florida right now does not mean we could not come to your state next.
And that's how we have to do it. And it's been started.
We have to do it this way, yes.
People
have
been
taking down the giant first.
Even
yes,
with
ma'am.
Petitions, even with petitions, people have been signing petitions. They don't need to be from the same state. Sign the petitions. Get these things one by one. That's how we'll do it. Get one thing resolved at a time. Let's work with one state when they need it, and then do the mass callings or whatever on another state. We need to do this. Now, I want everybody to know you don't need to be insecure. For those of you out there, don't be insecure and afraid to make a move, and don't be using titles, because we don't need titles. The ones that need to hear your titles are those that you are going above the cause, those who are in control, those who are overseers. Then you use your title. But I want everybody to know, don't be insecure. We need to show power and strength in this country as other countries have done. So I want the audience to know this. Patrick and Donna, I want you both to come back on again, maybe next week, week after, or a couple of weeks, just to get some updates, and we will be in contact in between, Donna. You let me know how things are going. Again, audience, I want you to take note of all of this that you heard today. We need to start putting down all these titles. We need to start being more humble. We need to start helping these incarcerated individuals. They made their mistakes, and as you know from hearing in Patrick's situation, these were kids when they went in. Children do not need to spend the rest of their lives behind prison walls. Please, audience, I want you to listen to this. When they have served 20, 25, or more years in prison for crimes they committed under the age of 20 or 25, then let's try to help them to get their freedom so that they can enjoy their adulthood, because their youth, their childhood days are gone. We took that away from them. We can give it back. So I want everybody to please listen in next time to hear Patrick's story, to hear the updates that Donna and Patrick are going to be sharing. Thank you both for being on, and thank you, audience, for listening. We are now going to be closing. This episode is over. Thank you both.
Have a good
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.